Welcome to the Lifetime at Work podcast, episode number 16, the podcast where we talk about the meaning and purpose of our careers. Whether you're thinking about ever changing your career in the future or thinking about the meaning of your job and everyone else's, you're going to love this podcast. My name is Greg Martin, and after 10 years or over 10 years on Bay Street in Toronto, I now own a food business called Farmer Prepared Meals. And like many people out there, I'm still figuring out the career thing as I go. Now, in this episode, it's all about parenting and juggling being a father and working and the trade-offs that we make for our kids. So let's play that intro music and begin. If you're a fan of this podcast, the best place to go on the web is lifetimeatwork.com. You can also follow me on Instagram. I'm gregmartin.work, and there you can follow what's going on with the podcast and also follow me. This episode, like all the other episodes, is brought to you by Farmer Prepared Meals. It is the prepared meals company that I own and run, and we are all about making meals at home easy. All of our stuff comes either fresh or frozen. You just heat it up and eat it when you want a break from that meal that you have to make every night of the week, especially these days. Check out farmer.ca, F-A-R-M-R.ca. We've got a lot of cool things. It's all made by real chefs. We make things from scratch. We source as local as possible. It's really great food, so check it out. And if you'd like to use the promo code IKNOWGREG, all one word, absolutely please do and give us a try. This week's episode is all about being a dad and working. And we will get to it. I'm going to do a episode about being a mom and parenting, but this one is being a dad. I know Jason because our wives met. They met at a baby class when our both of our kids were very young, and our oldest kids are very close in age. And because Jason is in the hospitality industry, we have kept in touch pretty well. And this is a cool episode because we're not talking so much about his job, but more about how he maneuvers and manages his job around his kids. And what he'll sort of talk about is that he began with a new career right when his oldest daughter was born, because he wanted to spend more time with her. He wanted more flexibility. He wanted to be home more. And to me, that's one of the big dilemmas of our lives, both as moms and dads, as we get older, have kids, and try to juggle work, is how much time do we spend on ourselves and our work and what we're doing and value our bosses and our clients and the people, our coworkers, versus our kids and dedicating time to them and designing a life where we can spend an appropriate amount of time with our kids and an appropriate amount of time with our work. And so that's what we talk about. And Jason's situation is interesting because he's a real estate agent, effectively, though he does a lot of commercial stuff, restaurants and, you know, bigger properties, a little bit of residential, but he effectively works from home most of the time and is otherwise sort of on the road, but his family's right there. And so he's got to juggle, hey, how much time do I spend with them? And how much time do I spend on this business that I am trying to build and grow? And again, it is a hard thing, but he did leave what he was doing before and the career that he had and the stability of that to be on his own and have flexibility, but also be faced with that dilemma all the time of how much do I work and how much do I pay attention to my kids? So you'll hear a few times him talking about the girls. He has two girls. They're 2.5 and 4.5, basically. And that's kind of all you need to know. I'm in sort of a similar situation as him, and we sort of talk about that and go back and forth on our perspectives on what it's like to parent and work and juggle the two. So here's my interview with Jason Klein. So Jason, welcome to the Lifetime at Work podcast.
Thank you very much, Greg.
No one knows anything about you, so I thought the first thing would be just to give a 2-minute background on who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm, you know, Jason Klein. I came from a small town called Woodstock. I moved to Toronto when I was 18, studied business at Humber, then hospitality management at George Brown. And then I guess I became what you call a hospitalateur. Maybe I just coined that, but for about 15 years in Toronto, I managed restaurants, worked in catering, bartended. And then most recently, I spent 5 years at the Ritz-Carlton and banquet events. Growing up, I kind of always envisioned I would play baseball. And then once that kind that, you know, that didn't really amount
like
to anything.
Like as a hobby, or that was going to be No,
I thought I was going to play baseball professionally.
Right.
Probably until I was 14.
Yeah.
And then once that fizzled out, my focus became into the hospitality industry. And then from there, I branched out into real estate, where I now focus on hospitality real estate. Nice. Which has been like a blessing to come across, for sure.
Yeah, a good way, I guess, to balance the two, probably, I guess, right? Because hospitality is, you know, I'm in it, and it's tough for a lot of people, I think, to find the right thing, especially as you get older. I think there's a lot of young people, right, in the industry, and there's a lot of open avenues where you're working evenings and weekends and... Right. There's just a lot of time when you have time and you don't have obligations, as we'll get into in this. It makes it a lot easier. But as you get older, it can be more challenging. Were you thinking about that as you got older in your career?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought I was, I forgot to mention actually, one big part of my life, I thought I was going to own my own restaurant or bar or something to do in bar ownership. My brother actually opened up a restaurant himself, but that was the goal. Like, you know, hospitality industry that was going to lead us to like running our own restaurant together, my brother and I. But that kind of fizzled out. The more time I spent in the industry, the more I realized, you know, I need to create some kind of like more structure, I guess, where I could, you know, have some weekends off or just be a little bit more in control of my schedule. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be grueling, I think, especially like I know, you know, what your brother does, you know, husband and wife working in a restaurant. It's just, you can't take a day off, right? Or you can't take a night. You can take days off, but you can't really take a weekend or a big night off, right? You don't really have vacation. You don't really have the time that you might otherwise have with, say, a 9-to-5 or just a job like you're doing, where you have a bit more flexibility.
Right. You know, like, I don't like to admit it, but working the hospitality industry, like there was a lot of resent towards the 9-to-5 schedule or the cottage goers.
Right.
This couldn't, like, you know, friends would say, hey, let's go to the cottage for a weekend. And like, I'm working, which, I mean, I'm completely grateful for my past, but there was, you know, summers were difficult, but here we are today.
Yeah. And so was the transition to like real estate, was that challenging? I know you, and then you have to study for tests and all that. And what was that like, I guess, to go from more, because you, when you're working at the Ritz-Carlton, it was more of a, there was none of that component of it. It was more pure hospitality. And then how did you sort of find yourself getting into the real estate part of it?
Yeah, that's kind of, so a good friend of mine, it was kind of her suggestion that we do real estate together. And we were both working at the hotel, and I was like, hey, you know what, this is something I could really get into. And I also find that there's like a very common correlation between the hospitality industry, or like restaurant servers or bartenders, and then like an afterlife of or post career of real estate. I always see that, at least now that I'm in the industry, I found that there's been a common transition. Like, I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
But I guess I anticipated at the time that I would move into residential real estate. So I wasn't even thinking the hospitality aspect of real estate. And that was only, you know, shown to me as I was kind of thrown into the fire. But the transition part was, you know, having time on my hands with, you know, not a 9-to-5 work schedule and kind of being dependent on my job just by like shift work. Yeah, I found there was a lot of time to get the studying done. And mostly I was just really motivated to transition to a new career. So that part of it was pretty smooth, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so when you, and for everyone's benefit, when you kind of got into the real estate game, you worked at a firm, you joined a group, and now you're on your own. Do you want to just maybe talk about that and how that kind of played into where you are now?
Yeah. So, you know, I had the benefit of working with a really strong team with some really quality agents, and it was a luxury. And that helped me like determine the potential of the niche market that it was. And then I ran into the opportunity, extremely green and wide eyed, like a puppy. And it was really exciting. But then as I learned more about myself and the industry as a whole, it became clear that, for me to find, I guess, the most happiness and success, of what I want to do and become, I just really need my own personal brand. And I'm kind of a firm believer of, I don't want anyone else's, I just want to be in full control of what people think about my brand, because at the end of the day, whether I'm just a name, Jason Klein or JK Hospitality Real Estate, it's my brand, and I just want to be in full control. So that was a big motivating factor for me to just focus on myself and develop a personal brand.
It seems like a lot of people are in the real estate game. That's what, for some reason, people who are drawn to real estate, they very much, probably more than anything else, are becoming their own brand. You on business cards is your face, right? And it's just,
yeah, I'm not there yet.
Right. You're okay. Your face. You have to do it at some point. There's a certain point, I just need to put my face on this thing, but or the website or whatever it is. It's just the sign on the lawn. It's like, hey, this is me. This is a brand. I'm a person more than anything, more than any other industry, I feel like. Very common to just be like, hey, I am a person behind this brand. But because it's such a relationship focused thing, right? Where someone is calling you up. And maybe you should talk about that exactly. Who calls you?
Yeah. What I focus on is the hospitality portion of real estate. So my calls, my main clients are, people like yourself who own restaurants, people looking to buy restaurants, landlords looking to lease their space, whether it's a vacant space or in a shopping center. So my calls vary, but generally it's someone looking to either grow, expand, sell, something to do with restaurants, within the GTA, Hamilton, right. Toronto, on Oshawa. I worked in Kingston, Niagara Falls, so really just Ontario limited. But the calls are mainly restaurateurs or those looking to dive into the restaurant industry.
Yeah, and so what's been interesting? So you have two young kids. I have two young kids. We live 10 minutes by walk. It's very close together. And so we've seen each other more than I probably see most other people because of COVID-19 and just the challenges of it. But when you're in the same neighborhood, it's that much easier. And so whenever we've sort of been at the park, you kind of have to be on all the time. How important is that to you to just sort of be on available to your clients when they need you or they need to know something or they need to get a hold of you?
I mean, it's important. I never want to jeopardize my clients' expectations or especially a deadline, but for the most part, I feel that they're all really understanding. So I guess I'm comfortable answering the call surrounded by chaos, if that makes any sense. Whether I'm at the park with, my oldest, Yasmin, dangling off my arm, or saying, "Daddy, push me in the swing again." I can still answer that call because I do find it important. However, if my kids aren't prepared for that call, that's probably when they're going to be more in my face and a little bit distracting. But like I said, I knock on wood, thus far, I'm pretty grateful that my clients have all been pretty understanding.
Yeah.
It's a fine line. It's important that they, even if it's a quick, hey, I'm at the park, as you can probably hear in the background, let me call you back in 20, you kind of make a quick note of the call. But when I'm with the kids, I really try to be present. But I think last time you saw me, you were pushing, you had to push the swing for a while because you're "Daddy, daddy, daddy." Work sometimes just gets in the way.
Yeah. And so that's what I sort of wanted to talk about in this podcast episode is, more than anything, trying to be a parent, trying to be a dad, trying to, you know, raise your kids, but also have your own life. And also, I mean, I get provide and generate income and all that, and all that. Do you ever find that your family and what you're trying to do is sort of at odds with your work? Or I guess, how do you balance it?
So, yeah, you know, so my wife stays home with the kids, and like, she never went back to work after, like, she was a sales manager and then just didn't have the desire to go back to work. So again, I'm pretty grateful for that situation and thankful for her commitment to the kids, because that's been like a huge part in where I am today, allowing me to, you know, focus on work and still know that the kids are being taken care of, and like, and she's, you know, fully committed. So it's allowed me to kind of be selfish in a way, to solely focus on work.
Yeah, yeah. How, so your, because your oldest daughter is 4.5?
Yeah, yeah.
So how long have you been doing this kind of on your own / the real estate thing?
So I've been doing real estate now for 4 years. I started my own brand. Been 1 year now. Yeah, that's, wow, time flies. So this is my fourth year, I guess, in it.
Yeah. So it coincides pretty well with the age of your oldest.
Yeah, career. Well, it was essentially the reason why I pursued the career was I just wanted to be in, you know, I just wanted to have more control of life in general. Like, I didn't know what the future was going to hold at that time. I didn't know if I was going to be successful at real estate. Knock on wood, I think I'm doing okay. But it was really the birth of our first child, which kind of put me into a new focus, which was, okay, try to create something that's sustainable and where I'm in control, I guess, if that makes sense.
What if you had, like, with what you had done before, what if you hadn't gone to real estate? I.e. like, just kind of kept going and doing, whether it be at the Ritz or in that line of kind of before, what you were doing before in the hospitality, would that have jived with being a parent the way you wanted to be? Or what was the problem with that?
I don't think I would have felt as fulfilled, in all honesty. I always felt like there was like another level that I wanted to reach. Even like where I am today, like, I know I just want to keep growing, and I feel like every day you want to get better. But if I had stayed in that hospitality at the hotel, you know, the future was still bright. I think we would have relocated. We probably would have, I mean, if it was my wife's wishes, we would have been in San Diego at like a Marriott somewhere.
Ah, that's she's got some good ideas. Yes. This is like a very cold day. San Diego.
Well, it sounds nicer.
Sounds, yes.
But I mean, like, that's the hotel life. And some days I was there till 3 a.m. Some days I was there for 21 hours. You know, it was tough. And then at the end of the day, like, it just, again, like, not being fulfilled. I just wanted to show the girls like that I had more to offer. And it was more just like a selfish decision. Like, I just wanted more personally. And again, my wife was like fully on board with that. And she even wanted, I mean, at the time we both planned to start new careers, but given the circumstances, I had to go first.
Yeah. 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 I ask these questions and I'm sort of almost in rapid fire because I'm intrigued as to how other people think about it as well. A lot of people that I know, I feel like, you didn't really change careers right when they were having young kids, but I did.
Yeah.
Like kind of what you did where it was. And, but I stuck around. I kind of knew, I think, as soon as my first son was born, who's also, about 4.5, you know, when he was born, I kept working. Like, I was still at my doing investment banking, and my hours by then were actually pretty good. Like, I would often be done around 6, and, you know, which means getting home at 7, which really, you don't really see the kid. Like, you don't really, during the week, I really saw him, you know, a little bit. And sometimes I'd get away early and sometimes it'd be later. But you'd had sort of the weekends, but you know, all considering, that was actually not bad. I mean, there's a lot of people on the GO train. I was taking the GO train home at that time, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other parents kind of in that. It wasn't quite good enough though for me. Like, I want, you know, my dad was usually home around 5. My mom was home by like 3:30 to pick, or you know, whenever she'd come pick us up from school. And I didn't want to be worse than that, I guess. I wanted to be there as much as I could, especially you know, at the early ages and the young ages of my kids. It sounds like you're along the same path.
100%.
Yeah.
And even to the point where, you know, like you kind of use your own parents as a benchmark, and you know, I know they did whatever they did their best for us, but I personally just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I appreciate that. I'm grateful for my upbringing, but like, there's so much more that I want to do.
Yeah.
Your story is really interesting to me as well, where, you know, you left a really good position and you made like a 180 career change. And it's just inspiring. I love that you took that challenge and you're still seeing it through. And now you're doing podcasts. It's really awesome, man.
Although just things that I can do at home. Yes. All right. it's the COVID way. But yeah, so you mentioned it, and I actually, for whatever reason, thinking a lot about that today, about my parents and the way I was raised, and vis-a-vis then how I would raise my kids. Mm-hmm. But maybe I'll start with you. How do you think your parenting style, or just the way that you can parent and all that, is different than your parents?
Yeah, it's funny. My wife and I often have these conversations, and it helps because it's like we hold ourselves accountable, like we reflect. And I think, you know, some key drivers would be just being present more. Like, I don't think my parents loved us. They always felt like if our tummies were fed or full and, you know, there's food on the table, like that was, and, you know, we had a warm place to live and, you know, clean clothes on our backs. Like, it wasn't not that was like the bare minimum, but I just felt like their expectations of parenting for themselves were relatively low. And whereas, you know, I want to just continue to put our kids in, like, I don't know, optimal positions, give them like, provide like more opportunities. And I don't look at it like, oh, we're going to be doing this like necessarily better than they were. It's just given the circumstances. My parents were both immigrants. With my dad's second marriage, I just think that, I don't know how to explain it, but I just feel like there's more for us to give based off like of what I've experienced. And again, I'm grateful for everything that I went through.
And I do think that's like part of our generation. Like, I guess another question would be, you know, how do you think that's common with sort of our generation versus as parents versus our parents' generation as parents, and how they're different and what the big differences are, you know, more generally. And obviously everyone's got their unique sort of situation, but do you think that there are big changes going on or big differences in how our generation parents versus how we were raised and how our parents did it?
Yeah, I do for sure. Like, I mean, I think it's just, we have more resources, right?
Yeah.
I think it's also a little bit like, it can be daunting to think of everything that's at our fingertips as well. Like, sometimes the more you know, the more you kind of scare yourself.
There's no excuse for not knowing stuff now. It's like, you didn't YouTube that. Like, how did you not know that and analyze that and read books on it? And
right. So you feel like you have the answer.
Post on Facebook.
Actually Yasmin's birth, our first child, the first birth was like a prime example of like, sometimes you try to, you over prepare and you think you have it planned out. When you know, life's going to throw you a curveball. Like, we had all these expectations of how the first birth was going to go, you know, and like breastfeeding. And we were just hit with nope, one after another. And you can only do so much preparing. So, I mean, back to your question, I think there's like a lot of differences from this generation of parenting than there was in the past.
Yeah, like I think there's a standard, right? I was thinking about this as well today in advance of talking, and you know what the big difference is. And I think that in many ways, a lot of us are like over parenting, mm-hmm. in that we're just like on top of our kids, watching everything, and trying to almost be too involved and too, you know, just not giving kids the freedom to be able to just be kids. And I don't know if that's what it is or what the time is or whatever, but that would probably almost is kind of, you know, my worry, if anything, is that the things that we worry about or struggle on as related to our kids. And a lot of times, like, you just can't control these things anyways. Like, there's not anything that you can do, versus our parents who I think, you know, their generation was, yeah, let's make sure, like, make sure that they know we're here if we need them, and they'll, you know, but the kid's going to come and tell us if they have a big problem or whatever, and then we can help. We don't need to be on top of them all the time. They can they can figure it a lot themselves, and that's how you learn, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, like, to your point, I started thinking about, like, parent guilt, and, you know, with the in line with how, you know, sometimes us as parents, we just, like, maybe we hover over our kids too much. But then, I don't know, like, it's, I feel like my wife used the term, like, mom guilt. Like, you know, she'll come home, like, but in the past she said, you know, there's an incident where, you know, maybe she felt like, oh, people were judging her, and just as, like, that's just mom guilt. Like, it's like, I think it's very common among mothers, and overall I think, you know, new age parents might have that to an extent. Maybe I try to, like, let them be, like, as free as possible, but you also want to be their sense of protection, so you know what's best for them at the end of the day.
Yeah. I guess, and I don't, it's really a worry. I wonder if we then make our kids just too anxious and too, ultimately, right? Like, if we're just too, like, oh, don't do that. Oh, no, don't do this. Don't do this. No. Right, versus just like, okay, you fall, you hurt yourself, you know, and then you learn that way. And it's very obvious. And it's just a different generation. I don't know. I don't know that it's the right answer or the wrong answer. You just kind of see that. I don't know. I just sort of see that happening, maybe potentially, in a lot of parenting situations. And it's just, but it's like you're saying, like, if you're there and you've carved out the time and you want to be around for your kid and whatever, then you've got to, then okay, if I'm here, I'm watching them, I'm going to be involved. I'm not just a spectator. I'm involved in there.
For sure. And they feel that, right? Yeah. They know when you're present. Yeah. Like, I can tell you, playing Lego with my oldest, Yasmin, trumps pretty much anything she wants to do. And I'm pretty good at playing Lego, but I didn't think I was that good. Like, it's like her favorite thing to do. And sometimes it breaks my heart because she's, you know, I'll be working and she's been asking for like 20 minutes. Like, can we play Lego? I'm like, yeah. But I guess there's always improvement on how I communicate with her. And, you know, I might just say, yeah, honey, like, just a minute, or like, I'll explain it in a way that you probably can't comprehend, right? So I'm kind of educating myself now. So instead of doing that, maybe I can, like, you know, explain it differently, where she looks forward to something and then I deliver, as opposed to just pushing it aside. And for me, because it's easy to just focus on my work and just keep telling her, oh, you know, not now, just very soon. But for her, it means so much that, like, when's it going to be? Like, it's so much anticipation.
Especially if you're there, right? Especially in COVID world, where you're not kind of on the road as much. You're at home, and she's like, well, I might as well try to get dad to play with me if I can.
Yeah.
And he's here. I give it, but then you immediately feel a guilt of, okay, well, she wants to, so I should.
Yeah.
But it's that balance. And you know, honestly, that was in sort of thinking about talking to you about this topic. This is one of the reasons that I thought it would be interesting, is just that because you work by yourself, you're effectively your own boss, it's your own brand, like, it's just you, you can work kind of as hard as you want, right? Like, you can take a week off in theory, and sure, you'd answer some calls or whatever, but, you know, it would be on you. You would feel the consequences or not. Vice versa, you could work, you know, 100 or 120 hours next week, and that would be all you, and this likewise. And so you just have to figure out a balance. How do you set that? I just don't think about it.
I definitely do think about it, and I'm always trying to, like, improve every day.
And I
wouldn't say, like, I'm one, like, I'm not, like, I like, I think astrology is cool, but so I'm a Libra. And I don't like to, like, oh, I'm a Libra because, so I do this, but I can't deny the fact that I'm just, like, that balanced aspect of being a Libra is, like, it's just, it's, like, ingrained in me. I, I love to, like, I guess everything in moderation, but when it comes to like the balance of work life and then the kids' life, I could, you know, I know there's another gear for work where I can just, I can kick it up a notch, but I also see like, okay, if I were to, like, there's, it's compromised. Like, there's so much that I would be sacrificing, and I'd rather maintain that healthy family lifestyle to work ratio. So to be honest, I don't know if this is a good answer, but it does feel easy to balance the two, but that comes with, you know, stricter systems in place for the work that I do. And, you know, maybe working more when the girls are in bed or before they wake up. So like earlier mornings and later evenings.
Yeah.
But balance is crucial for what I do, and especially working at home with the kids. So it's like,
but how do you decide how much to work? Cause you don't really have people to say to delegate and like the same way that you might otherwise. Is it just
kind of, the work kind of finds you, you know, like I'm in a position where I can't jeopardize where I am. Like, I can't jeopardize the work that I've done, and I have to remember how I've gotten here. It's through hard work and like trust and working with integrity, and just being reliable. Like, kind of stumped me there, but
well, because I was thinking about it in the context of, say, your average corporate job, or even my wife who's a teacher, and there's just a certain standard. You're either doing the job or not.
Yeah.
You're either going to be a teacher and you're going to show up when you have to at class, and you're not gonna just show a movie every day, right? You're gonna have a certain standard that you're gonna probably uphold.
Yeah,
for the most part. And I would say that's the same with a corporate job where you're mm-hmm. where your boss says, okay, here's your responsibilities, you have to do them, and you can flex it, sure, you can mm-hmm. try really hard and go above and beyond, you can take it down and just do substance level, but you're probably going to do a certain amount of job, and then for your family and your life decisions, you know, you're not going to change jobs that often. So maybe you're revisiting it every 6 months and saying like, oh yeah, either I want to do this job or not, or I want to find something or not. And then I'm going to keep this. And so you do it. And then you kind of fit your family in around that, right? You just kind of say, and that was the corporate life that I was sort of leading. It was just sort of like, okay, make sure you get done the things you want to do to be the professional that you are. And then the rest is family time. Right. But now, and I'm kind of in the situation too, where I could spend all my time doing family time. I could spend all my time working, right. And it's got to be somewhere in between, right, where you can balance those because you have that flexibility. And there's obviously trade-offs, but you know, it actually seems like a much harder decision sometimes in you know, how much to do it, and then how present, I guess, to be. And so, yeah, I do sort of struggle with that as well. Like, how much should I be? Like, should I even be doing this podcast, or should I just wake up my kids and hang out with them? Like, you know, you have these like, there's always kind of these decisions on how much time to spend with your kids. Yeah. And without really necessarily like easy answers, you just kind of have to say, I think I should spend more time, or I think I need to do this for work. You know, that's kind of how, I don't know. That's kind of my approach.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's pretty accurate. And you kind of just take it like day by day a little bit, but I guess in my line of work, you know, there's deadlines, there's conditional periods, there's closing dates, there's so many different factors, like the listing presentation. And when there's a task at hand, like I know that's what needs to be focused on. And, yeah. And then I guess, you know, you say you have 25 listings, all over the city, it comes with a lot of time management. In order to, you know, maintain those listings, work with new buyers, and then juggle the kids at home. So, I guess in short, the work takes precedent in a way. Like, if work needs to get done, kind of like your corporate role,
yeah,
it's kind of like fixtured, right? If the work needs to be done, then that takes precedent, especially if it's during like a working hours, say like 9 to 5, and then but. So working from home, I found that, you know, I'll have these calls, I'll have these important meetings or a Zoom call or these closing dates or like, you know, something extremely stressful is going on in a deal that's about to close, and it might not close, and my girls need the attention, but I'll just have to remove myself and work where I'm isolated until I can come back and give them that time. I also kind of treat it like a reward sometimes, where, you know, say there's a bunch of tasks that need to be done, and I cross off a bunch of those tasks, and then I can maybe like check out for 2 hours from 2 to 4, you know. But I don't have like a set routine where, you know, the girls are going to get the attention, like they're going to get daddy play for, like it changes every day, and I can always find windows. But I guess the goal during the working hours are always to get the job done.
Yeah. And I hear that. I guess you then just have to think about it as, you know, that corporate boss is your client instead of trying to just, you have to follow what they need. Otherwise, you probably shouldn't do it anyway. You shouldn't take them on as a client in the first place, but you want to because that's your job.
Exactly. Like I have a client, they own a burrito franchise, and we expanded, we leased out 5 locations during the pandemic last year. And some of the deals were very complicated. Some are straightforward, but it was from Kingston, Niagara Falls, Guelph, Oshawa. So it required a lot of time. And, you know, they put that trust in me to deliver. So if the first location didn't go well, you're not going to see the other 4 happening. So it's something that I really prioritize. At the end of the day, I think I'm just a big kid. So like the family, that playing with my kids is like the easy part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you kind of need that distraction, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Like if
great stress with it.
I find the same thing where if you were to remove the kids, or if I was doing the same thing, but before kids, I would just work probably the whole time, especially in a COVID world, right? You're just like, nothing else to do. I'm just going to, keep working. Might as well. Because I can get more done and I can think of things to do, and you're just kind of moving along. But when you have the kids there and you say, okay, I'm going to get this done so that I can play with, you know, hang out with the kids because I want to do that, it's important. What do your kids think that you do?
They think I work to buy toys, I think.
Okay.
That's probably what they think I do.
But do you think they have a concept of what work means? Like, how do you turn what you talking on the phone into a toy?
It's funny because they refer to them as clients, but then half the time I find them like, and I don't know if they're trying to distract me, but they're like just standing in front of me, just mimicking what I do, like pretending they're on the phone. I don't know how much they understand my work other than like, you know, I brought Yasmin in the past, like to a couple of like my showings or to meet some clients, and she thought it was awesome. Like we had to measure the square footage of a room once, and she was like a big helper, and, you know, she would brag to mom that she worked today. And I don't know how, I think overall they're in favor of me working.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much they grasp of it, to be honest.
Of what you actually do. Yes. I feel like, my oldest Rory, he thinks I just deliver things. That's what he just thinks. He knows restaurant, and he thinks like, and he's like, oh, if I say, oh, I have to go to work today, he'll say, oh, you have to do deliveries. And I run with it. I'm just that's all I do. I just take things to people around the city, and that's what I do. And, that's what he thinks the restaurant is. But yeah, he's not at the point of grasping the, oh, how do you make money? And what does that mean? And, or even at a store, something costs something. And he's not there yet.
Well, like, perfect example. I was at this, my oldest daughter, you know, I was at the salon this morning, and I asked her how much it costs, and she said $1,000. So I'm like, you don't grasp the cost of nothing.
has COVID-19 sort of impacted how, and anything relating to your kind of perspective on your kids and time with them and work?
Yeah. I mean, like I prioritize, differently, but I mean, COVID-19 has just made me, I guess there's like a bit of a silver lining just in the fact that I'm grateful to be able to have spent all this time with them over the last year, and my work hasn't suffered from it. Yeah, that's a hard one to answer.
Like to me, the big change was being around my kids that much more, even on the weekend. Like it was just us and the family and the kids. Whereas that would not have been the case if it wasn't COVID-19. And so it was, for us, there was a lot of, it just, and continues to be, just this incredible, like, one-on-one or two on four, I don't know what the right ratio is, but just us four together all the time, which never would have otherwise happened.
Right.
I actually also realized, though, that to a certain extent, we also getting on each other's nerves a little bit more than we would otherwise would when we're like busy and doing stuff. I feel like one of the things we realize is that it's not 100% about maximizing the time. Like we spend a lot of time, and I think my wife and I, Terry, we've really we're trying to organize ourselves so that we can be around our kids a lot, but you don't have to be around them absolutely all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, for instance, with them going back to school, and think I absolutely thought that was a very positive thing, you know, for sure, of just, you know, them going and doing their thing and us going and doing work and just having that separation time. Cause then the time that you do spend together, you just like really value it that much more.
That's true. And even like valuing what school has to offer, right? Which is just like the overall socializing. Having them at home, like we play little math games and she's learning how to read. And that stuff to me is the easy part. But like you can't replace socializing.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that.
And just different perspective too. Like the teacher will have a different perspective. The other kids will give your kid, good and bad, different perspective. But, you know, just having that, I think, is important for them to learn and develop versus just like, otherwise you're just creating yourself, right? Just like, I'm going to make you into me.
Maybe that's not the best thing. Like,
we need a little bit of variability, maybe.
We need more Yasmin, Kiana. We need more Jesse and Rory.
Right. Exactly. So, I'm open to them being a little bit different. So your wife is going back to school.
Yes.
And she's I mean this in the not in least insulting way, but she's not a young go to school.
Right.
Like I'm older and I am going in and doing a second or a different complete career change. Why is she doing that?
Well, I mean, I kind of spoke about it briefly before when we both, like we were both in the hotel industry, she was in sales. But when Yasmin came around, we both just kind of realized, you know, we wanted more for ourselves, and she, at that time, she wanted a career change. I had the benefit of, you know, going first because it was more feasible and the transition was more seamless, I guess. So it was something that was always on her radar even back in 2016.
Yeah.
And then she took a while, I guess, to think about, you know, what she really wanted to do. And then if anything, she just needed something that was more fulfilling. And she spent 4 years at home with the girls, or at least with the oldest, and neither of them were in daycare. So it came to like a fast realization where she wanted more, and I don't blame her. She's very happy with what she's chosen to do. It's going to take some time, but I'm excited for like what the future holds when she makes this, when she finishes her studies.
Yeah. But I hear some stories because she's studying, work her way towards the right credentials and all that. You then have a day job of looking after these kids and then going and spending your nights. What kind of drives her to do that, do you think?
Well, to be honest, I think it's just to be able to show the girls, like, you know, that moms work too, and that, you know, mom can go to school. Like, I guess it's like it's something, you know, assuming that she's successful at pursuing this career. I think it'll be, looking back on it, it'll be such a learning, it'll be so valuable to teach the kids, like, hey, listen, like at her age, you know, she went back to school, she found a career that she loved. Like, so kind of like, not to say never give up, but, that, It is important for, you know, each parent to have their own kind of identity or their career, their focus, if that makes any sense. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah. Having your own life that you're trying to, right? You know, just... like,
if you ask the girls, like they, like my mom or their mom is a superhero, right? And they think like her only job is to take care of them. And which, I mean, she's fully committed. She loves it. She's dedicated, but know, she deserves more. And for her, like, I know she's capable of so much. So I wasn't surprised. It was, for me, it was just like, okay, when would she want to start her career? And everything just kind of lined up to this moment, making the most sense. The girls are older. Like, Kiana just started daycare. So now we're going to have a lot more free time on our hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like, I think it's great. I think it'll just be fantastic for like the girls to look up at her. Because, hey man, I want my girls to feel like they can do anything at any time, the older they get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. You know what? I haven't really thought about the, like, does that, do you think about how they think about you then in terms of what you do and your work and your job? Cause I guess I haven't really, which is odd, thought about that too much, what they will think of me. I do think of it in the context of getting to know me, i.e. like, hey, do a podcast. And so that when my, if something were to happen to me, or if whatever, they just don't want to ask me because it's hard to ask the questions, they could like listen to an old podcast and like, oh, that was my dad. Like that I've crossed my mind.
Yeah.
But I haven't really crossed my mind of in what I do, how they think about me. Have you thought about what you do in that context?
No, I haven't. Yeah. It's funny that I describe my wife in that way, but I never.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start a podcast. Now you got me thinking, like, oh man, what? How can I portray my past to them as the older they get? I mean, they'll know that I'm goofy, and they'll probably just think, for the longest time, I think they'll just think my sole purpose is to provide them with like the toys that they want.
Right. Yes.
But once we get past that, then I'd like to see how interesting they think I am as an individual.
To have like a conversation and talk to, and yes, no, I I you know, potentially the point of work could just be to buy toys of all kinds.
Yeah.
Cars. Oh, yeah. and clothes, you know, just to four different forms. Yep. Of toys. Yep. as we get older. That is a strategy.
Yeah, like, isn't like
a mindset.
I guess you can call the LCBO a toy store, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. Disposable toys, for fun. Okay, so kind of following up on that question is probably one of my last. Do you have goals then? Do you think about goals as, because you think about for your business, you must have. Mm-hmm. What would those be?
So for business, like, immediate goal, I'm actually currently studying for my broker's registration. So that takes me to the end of the month, and hopefully that goes well. I guess long term, I'd like to, you know, I think about this, like, the end goal. I don't know when it comes to real estate, but I would love to have, say, to build a real estate team, or a brokerage maybe at one point. I think, you know, having just like a brand, personal brand, like synonymous with like a hospitality sector.
Yeah.
Because like in my, you know, short career, I feel like I've worked with some reputable brands that I just look back at and think, hey, that's really cool that, you know, I was able to help them in that capacity, or I spoke to that landlord, and you know, it's just that part's really thrilling to me. So if I keep up that momentum, I don't know. I feel like there's like some big opportunities for hospitality and real estate, and I'd like to be at the forefront of that, for at least for the GTA.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel like you need to put more time in, i.e.,
definitely
more of your percentage of your week into work, yeah, to get there, or is it just a matter of doing this longer, gaining more experience, meeting more people, doing more deals that will get you there?
I think that's part of it, but I also think that it's like optimizing your actual, the time that you're allocated for work. Yeah. And as the girls get older, I think it'll just be a little more easier. Like,
yeah,
to be honest, like, Monday is going to be one of the craziest days of our lives as parents. It's going to be the first day where both kids are out of the house.
Yeah.
Like, right. There's always been one kid at the home. Never. So when Yasmin's at school and Ken is at daycare, like, I don't even know how that day is going to, it's, you know, this is after being a dad for 4 years. So it's pretty monumental. I just think that, yeah, I do think, it comes with like, you know, doing more work and over time, but I also, I know there's another level. I know what I have to do to get there. It's just optimizing the time and just building more efficiencies and more systems. But I'm excited, but it also comes with more discipline. So
yeah. I'm sticking with it. What about as a father and a parent? Do you have goals, or how, you know, when your kids are older and they can buy their own toys, how do you want them to think about you or have thought about your time with them as growing up?
Yeah, that one.
That's a hard question. I'm going to talk here for a little bit to give you an extra few seconds to think about it. But I'm glad that I get to ask the questions and don't have to answer that one.
It might sound more obvious or cliche, but I always want them to think that I'm funny and fun and like I would love that if they were always around me, like in the future, like we have our own cottage, we go away and they're with their family and they're like, hey, we want to go see mom and dad. Like if they want to come back and see us on a regular basis, I feel like I've done something right. But like more importantly, I want them to always feel that they're my top priority, and no matter how busy I am with work, that they can like always come to me. I want to, you know, goals such as like being there, being present for, you know, big accomplishments in schools or sports, any of their extracurricular activities, say a recital of some sort, like just being there. And then actually one goal of mine, which might not seem so elaborate, but it's actually to coach their sports team growing up, as long as it's not hockey, because I can't skate.
But any other, embarrassing, yes.
But baseball, basketball, soccer, I'd love to.
You could do it. Yeah, I'm mildly tempted to tell a funny story, but about me trying to be pre-COVID, we put Rory as a 3-year-old into soccer, it was funny because they don't need a coach, but for some reason they kept emailing everyone on the team. The team is like, I don't know, 8 kids, emailing saying, we need a coach. And eventually I said I would do it. Nice. And because it was probably 4 sessions in, and I was like, fine, I'll do it after they sent all these emails. But it didn't involve anything. Like I would go there and do nothing. Like I would just kind of be like all the other parents, because there's a person who's leading the soccer. It's not even a game. It's just there's no coaching involved when it's 3 years old, 3 and 4 year olds. It's just nothing.
Right.
But I sort of check the box, I feel like, of being a coach, when really not being doing anything.
You've checked that box. Now you have to check the coach boxing, or sorry, the coaches boxes, right? Like, yeah. So as a coach now, you now have your own set of coach goals, right?
Right. Now then I have to actually do something. I should tell a kid something that then they do on. Yeah. That would be a next good coach goal. But yeah, no, I liked your answer though, for what you said on the kids. I think it's actually something that we all as parents should probably think about more often. Because I don't have a lot. I think the main thing is that I want them to know that I'm there.
Yeah.
And that I'm available and like caring and thought, you know, and thought about it and or thinking about them and all that and just being around. But that's kind of as far as I've gotten. Otherwise, you know, and loving them always and all that. But mm-hmm. I otherwise, you know, don't have as good of an articulated answer as probably you did. Which I think is good. So I might steal yours and just try to be fun.
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about that. I think we're natural about that.
Fun enough.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Yeah. I think now is a time. I thought COVID more than anything is a time just to reflect on kids. And we spent so much time with them, mm-hmm. and thinking about us as parents and what we're trying to achieve. And that balance of work, that's what the podcast episode is. Just a time for when you listen to it in the future, or when my kids, right, they come and they listen to it because they want to know what dad was like when he was 36.
So, and a silly friend, Jay.
Right. That this is what it was like. And that we, you know, we went through this COVID thing, and here's the episode, and we talked about them. So Yeah, that was it. Anything, you know, if Yasmin listens to this in the future or Kiana, anything any message you want to send to them from the past into the future?
Well, depending on how far in the future, if you're in high school, girls, do your homework. I don't know. I love you girls so much. Now you're making me emotional, Greg.
Yeah.
Talking about future daughters.
Yeah. It's weird, right? To think about them as old people, because you don't want that. You're like, it's helpful not to think about it, because then they might actually turn into it. You kind of want them to be
precious forever.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for being a guest on the podcast.
I thank you so much for having me. Keep it up, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope, whether you are a parent or not, that you enjoyed that interview. And if you are a mom and you would like me to interview you, or you have someone who is a mom that you think would be great, send me a message. Go to lifetimeatwork.com. That's probably the easiest way. And there you can send me an email and offer a suggestion, because I am looking to put together another episode similar to this one a little bit in the future with the female angle coming at it. But I appreciate you listening very much, and I will have another episode next week. So until then, don't worry, be happy.